जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय चैतन्य जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
Welcome you on the auspicious occasion of Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. We shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7. Lord Chaitanya in five features. Texts 20 and 21. Se pancha tattva mili piti vi asiya purva prema bandarera puja uzadiya Panche mili muti preme kare asvadana Yate yate piye trisna bade anukshana. Please repeat. Say. Those. Pancha tattva. Five truths. Mili. Combined together. Prithivi, on this earth, Asiya, descending, Purva, original, Prema Bandarera, the store of transcendental love. Mudra, sealed. Ugadiya, opening. Panche nili, mixing together all these five. Lute, plunder. Prema, love of Godhead. Kare. Asvadana. Taste. Yata yata. As much as. Piye. Drink. Krishna. Thirst. Bhate increases. Anukshana again and again. Translation. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Pancha Tattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanyai Avatar because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself. For no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Translation again. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love was certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seals and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love for Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Srila Rupa Goswami is the principal of the six Goswamis. Of course, all of the six Goswamis are confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Rupa Goswami in particular understood the mind, the mood and mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore devotees pray to Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam, that he understood the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Stapitam yena bhutale. His mission on earth, what he wanted to establish on earth. And swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapadanikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami be merciful to me? Because it is by the mercy of Rupa Goswami that we can understand the confidential moods of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanyaya, that you are the most munificent incarnation of Godhead. Why? Krishna Prema Pradayate. Because you are giving Krishna Prema. Krishnaya Krishna. You are Krishna Himself, because no one other than Krishna can give pure love for Krishna. Gaura Tvishayamaha. But you are not, you don't have the blackish complexion of Krishna, but you have a golden complexion. So, Rupa Goswami understood this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Mahavaranaya avatar. And Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the Sankirtan movement, begun by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, that they should have that same mood as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be very munificent. Very munificent in the distribution of Krishna prema. Now we say, well, Rupa Goswami says, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, we say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered love for Krishna. But he delivered love for Krishna. Of course, in some cases, those who had his personal association were given love for Krishna directly. But in general, he gave the process by which we can develop love for Krishna through the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Once, when Srila Prabhupada was staying at a Ram Mandir in Chembur, before we got our own place in Bombay, one gentleman came to see him, and he was crying, "Oh Swamiji, oh Swamiji, only you can save me, only you can save me, please save me." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I cannot save you. Only you can save yourself. But I can give you the process by which you can save yourself. And that is the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of chanting the holy name. And in general, following the process of Bhakti Yoga." And in the chanting of the holy names, there are some guidelines for us. Of course, in the beginning, a new person will chant. He may not even know what he is chanting. And he will get benefit. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the progression in Bhakti Yoga. Ado Shraddha. At first, there must be some initial faith and attraction. And that may come through a preliminary contact with devotees. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. The nutness one will begin to regularly, systematically associate with devotees. And being attracted by the qualities of the devotees, one will think, I also want to be like them. I also want to dedicate my life to Krishna consciousness. And then, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya. Then one takes up the practices of Bhakti Yoga. Rising early in the morning, if one is able, attend the Mangalarati, chant the holy names, hear the discussion of scripture, worship the deity, witnessing the worship of the deity also counts as worshiping the deity, and living in the temple or in some holy place of Krishna, one takes up the full practice. And thus, gradually, one progresses towards the ultimate goal of Krishna prema, pure love for Krishna. But one must make one's effort and follow the process. Srila Prabhupada has given two examples. Actually, the examples are there in other traditions as well, of two conceptions of spiritual progress. One example is of the kitten and the cat, and the other is of the mother monkey and the baby monkey. And these two processes are called the ascending process and descending process. So in the descending process, one makes one's efforts, but ultimately one depends on the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, not on his own strength. And that is compared to the cat and the kitten. The cat will pick up the kitten and carry the kitten where the cat wants it to be. Some better place for the kitten. And the monkeys, the baby monkeys, they hold on to the back of the mother, and they're depending on their own strength. I actually saw it vividly in the Johannesburg Zoo, that these little monkeys were like jumping on the backs of their mothers and holding on, but they're really little and their arms and hands were not very strong. And the mothers were way up in the trees jumping from one tree to another, and these little baby monkeys were holding on for dear life, and it's possible that they could lose their grip and fall down and die or be seriously injured. So generally we recommend and follow the descending process. That we do our duty to follow the instructions, but at the same time we pray for mercy because we know ultimately we depend on mercy. And we cannot make any progress on our own without mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and all the members of the Panchatattva are extremely merciful. So we have come to the right place to get mercy. But we have to be in the proper mood to receive mercy. We have to be humble, in other words. When we're humble, we realize that we need mercy, that we cannot survive without mercy, and therefore we're eager to get it by doing things to please the person who can give us that mercy, and by earnestly and ardently praying for that mercy. But if we're not humble, if we're proud, we'll think, I'm already doing very well. We may pray for mercy like a rich man who thinks, oh, I have so much money, I don't even know what to do with it. But still, he wants more, so he prays for more. But he's not very desperate. In fact, he's more proud and complacent. But a humble devotee will earnestly and ardently pray for mercy, feeling that he or she has nothing. Nothing but anarthas and aparads. Nothing but contamination. And therefore they pray for the Lord's mercy, the Panchatattva's mercy, for the mercy to cleanse their hearts of all the dirty things and engage them in the Sankirtan movement. And that is achieved by that combination of our efforts in the Lord's mercy. Chaito Darpano Marjana. The chanting of the holy names purifies the consciousness. So we should be very eager for that mercy. And we should do whatever we can to please that merciful personality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also represented by Sri Nityananda Prabhu and all of our acharyas, and especially Srila Prabhupada. We should do whatever we can to please them. And basically two things please them. One is when we taste Krishna consciousness, and the other is when we distribute Krishna consciousness. So tasting Krishna consciousness comes by chanting and hearing without offense. And distributing Krishna consciousness comes by cooperative effort. The Sankirtan movement, Sang means complete and Kirtan means glorification. So glorification is complete when many people join together. So to really preach, to really spread the Sankirtan movement, we must cooperate. And that cooperation is so important. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's main instructions to us. He said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. But cooperation, it sounds like an easy thing, but actually it's not so easy. Because of our false egos. On one level, false ego means identifying with the body or the mind. And being in the bodily concept, I mean, of course, we may have some theoretical knowledge that we're not the body. But we still may identify with the body. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if he's traveling and he meets an Indian, of course he's speaking for us, but he meets an Indian, oh, you're from India, oh, I'm also from India. What part of India? Oh, you're from Bengal. I'm also from Bengal. What part of Bengal? Oh, you're also from Calcutta. I'm also from Calcutta. What part of Calcutta? And he said, we get very happy. We get very happy when we meet someone of our own kind. Well, it's natural. There's no harm in that. But a pure devotee on the spiritual platform, he sees everyone as his own, from his own place. Because everyone comes from Krishna, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, and we are also part and parcel of Krishna, and so we are the same. Not based on bodily commonness, but based on spiritual commonness. And, yeah, so the one division of false ego is I'm this body. And everything associated with this body is mine. My friends, my enemies. My wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my money, my house, my car, my intelligence, my good looks, my charms. It's all mine. Now this conception or this absorption in I and mine causes us to commit offenses. The chanting of the holy names and all of the five principal items of devotional service are very powerful. Rupa Goswami says that it is very difficult to conceive of the power of these five items. Because by even a slight association with any of the five, one will awaken ecstatic love of God. But there is a condition. And that's why we may superficially associate with these processes day in and day out for hours every day, but still not awaken our dormant love of Godhead. So why? The answer is because we commit offenses. So the underlying basis of the offenses is the false ego, the false identification with the body and mind, and the concomitant psychology of wanting to be the controller, wanting to be the possessor, wanting to be the enjoyer. In other words, ultimately wanting to be God, wanting to take the place of Krishna, which is very offensive, very offensive. And in the list of 10 offenses against the Holy Name, the last one is that to be absorbed in that consciousness, aham mam eti, and thinking oneself supreme, one devotee gave the example that if you twirl around very quickly in kirtan or somehow or other, but if you twirl around very quickly and stop, you become dizzy. And it looks like everything is twirling around you. So that is our condition. We think we're the center and everything is revolving around us. But actually Krishna is the center. One very nice devotee from Russia named His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. He said they have a saying in Russian. It's sort of like a joke they have, but it's a serious joke. But in the joke, one friend says to the other, I just figured out that God exists. Because for many decades, the official Russian policy was atheism. There is no God. He said, I figured out that God exists. And his friend says, you did? How did you figure it out? And he said, because nothing ever goes my way. So if it doesn't go my way, it must be going someone else's way. And that person is God. And that's true. We're all frustrated because things don't go our way. I mean, something might go our way to some extent for some time. But there are always so many things that don't go our way. We don't like it. We become frustrated and angry. Because we want to be the center. We want everything to go our way. But actually, we're not the center. Krishna is the center, and things go His way. And we can either cooperate and be part of it, or rebel. And when we rebel, we come into material bondage. Just like in the state, everyone has to serve the government. Those who follow the laws voluntarily, they are free. They're called free. But those who rebel against the government and break the laws of the government, they get arrested and put in prison. And there they follow the laws of the government by force. So being free means that you follow the laws of God voluntarily. And being bound or conditioned means that you follow by force, being punished by the laws of nature. And everyone is punished to some degree or other until they surrender to Krishna and take up the process that He has given us to achieve Him, which is Bhakti Yoga. So, I'll read the next verse, which is relevant to the Hare Krishna movement, and I'm happy to say that the devotees this morning were exemplifying this verse, text 22. Puna puna piyaya aya mahamata nache kande hasi gaya yache madamata. The Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godheads. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. Purport. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswamis, Sri Srinivas Acharya stated, Krishna kirtana gananartana paro. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle. And therefore, simply by chanting and dancing, we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities. For the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. Yes, actually, when Srila Prabhupada first came to Hare Krishna land, after entering into the agreement to purchase the lamb from Mr. Nair. The lamb was actually in the name of Mrs. Nair. So when Srila Prabhupada was leaving, we had arranged a VIP lounge for Srila Prabhupada, and inside the lounge, Maruvisa Prabhu led a very ecstatic kirtan. And the devotees were really dancing wildly, right, in the airport, in Srila Prabhupada's presence. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada commented that if you go on having kirtan like this, our project will be a success. So dancing, chanting and dancing is a very important part of our process. Text 24. Lutiya kaya diya bandara ujade ascharya mandara prema shata guna bade. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. I'll just repeat, because this is a very important principle. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. Ishavasyam idam sarvam prabhu. Om purnam adaha purnam idam purnat purnam udachyate purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vashishyate. The Supreme Lord is perfect and complete. And although so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. Or as Srila Prabhupada gave the example, transcendental mathematics. 1 + 1 = 1. If you add everything to the one Krishna, it remains Krishna. And 1 - 1 = 1. Even if you take everything away from Krishna, Krishna remains complete. Of course, we also have our devotional mathematics in the Sankirtan movement, that 1 + 1 = 11. Because by combining together in the Sankirtan movement, our contribution is multiplied. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of one pseudo-guru who, if this is told in one book, that he touched his disciple, and by his touch, his knowledge entered into that disciple. So when the disciple opened his eyes, he saw that his so-called guru was weeping. So he asked him, "Why are you weeping?" He replied, because I have given all of my knowledge to you, and I don't have any left. So this is a completely material concept. It's like if I have 100 rupees, and I give you 100 rupees, then I have no rupees left. That's material. But what the Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying here is that if I give you 100 rupees of love of Godhead, my stock increases and I have 100,000 rupees of love of God. It increases. The more we distribute, the more we get. And therefore, preaching or sharing Krishna consciousness with others is the best way for us to become Krishna conscious. Because first of all, we please the Panchatattva, the Guru Parampara, and by their blessings, we make advancement. But it is also the nature of bhakti, it is the nature of love of Godhead, that the more we give, the more we get. But in order to do that, we have to be completely free from envy. In text 23, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada followed that principle and he distributed Krishna consciousness everywhere throughout the world, and he accepted as candidates people from all parts of the world, all castes and communities and creeds, and elevated them to the positions of servants of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So we also should not make any conditions. In other words, we should be free from envy. One of the obstacles to devotional service is jiva himsa, which means to do violence to others or to envy them. Srila Prabhupada says to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness is a manifestation of jiva himsa, of violence to others or envy of others. So we should welcome everyone. And encourage everyone without discrimination, without pride, without envy, without malice. And then we will be able to truly chant and dance in ecstasy. So we have come here to the lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Prabhupada. So we should accept the mercy that they have come to give and share the same mercy with others. So we still have some time, but I thought to stop now and see if any of you have any questions or comments, because by discussion things become more
clear.
And one other thing about this process, once one devotee to Malkrishna Goswami was very busy in Prabhupada's service. Srila Prabhupada kept us very busy. Still he keeps us busy. And Jamal Krishna Goswami complained to him that he didn't have time to read. But Srila Prabhupada encouraged him that if you speak for 15 minutes, it is equal to reading for 2 hours. So it's so beneficial to speak about Krishna to others. So yes, we'll stop now and see if you have any questions. Hare Krishna. Well, there's a... oh, yes. Okay.
I'd like to ask a question about cooperation. Some God brothers have felt alienated from the authorities in ISKCON. And they say, the authorities ask us to cooperate with them, but cooperation is a two-way street, and they should sometimes see that their way is not the only way they should cooperate with us, but they don't.
So what's the question?
You can comment.
Well, he's making the point about what does it mean to cooperate. Devotees in a superior position may take it that cooperate means that you have to do what I say. Actually, Srila Prabhupada often used that phrase. He would address the Indians and ask them to kind of cooperate with this movement. Or even with some big man, he would say, kindly cooperate with this movement. So once he used that word with a very big man, and after the man left the room, I asked Srila Prabhupada, what does that mean, cooperate? Prabhupada said, it means that they do what I say. So, but there is a point, and that is, as I wrote in relation to one incident between Malati Dasi and Srila Prabhupada, and I won't repeat it now, but Prabhupada himself said of her that she would do anything for me. She would be prepared to slit her throat for me, and I would do the same for her. So I think that's the idea, that there should be the relationship should be reciprocal. And one of my favorite quotations of Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in one letter, and obviously the disciple must have written him that he's dependent on Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So Srila Prabhupada wrote back, "You are dependent on my mercy, and I am dependent on your mercy. It is reciprocal. This mutual dependence is based on love, dash, Krishna consciousness." So it is. And recently in Vrindavan, a very special devotee of Srila Prabhupada, he never took initiation because
Well, he couldn't.
He was an extremely busy person. He couldn't chant 16 rounds. I mean, he asked Srila Prabhupada, explained his schedule and how the whole day was spent. And he said, I can only chant 8 rounds. Can you initiate me? And Prabhupada said, no. But he was always traveling. Always traveling, even now. He's almost 70 years old, still always traveling, always traveling. So Srila Prabhupada said, no. But if you ever do get initiated, I'll give you the name Narada Muni Das. So anyway, this person, Peter Burwash, told us that one day Srila Prabhupada spent 3 hours with him, which is almost unprecedented. And the whole time Prabhupada was giving him instructions on how to do his business. He was just a young man. He had just started his business. He was like 25 years old. He had been a tennis champion. So he began a business of like teaching tennis. It became a huge operation. And Prabhupada gave him certain principles, and he has followed those principles up till now. And he said at the time he began his business, there were 17 franchises doing that type of business, and all the other 16 have folded, and his is the only one left. But one of the points that Srila Prabhupada made to him was about loyalty. That you should be very loyal to your employees and keep them loyal to you. And he said he has people who's been in his organization for 40 years, 35 years, 40 years. That once they join him, they don't want to leave. Because he has many good qualities, but he's loyal to them, and they become loyal to him. So that should be there, that reciprocal movement. Another principle that Prabhupada gave him was never compromise your moral standards. And he followed that too. As his organization spread throughout this world, he ended up having a relatively small operation in Japan. You know, they were making $35,000 a year. It was a while ago. It was something. But there was another operation there called U.S. Tennis School. And U.S. Tennis School offered him $1 million a year for 10 years if he would join with them. That's a lot, $10 million. And he thought about it. It was a good offer from the business point of view. It was a fantastic offer. But in the end, he had to refuse. Because in their organization, the tennis instructors, in general, they smoked. And it was against his principles, which he got from Srila Prabhupada. In fact, in his organization, there's like no smoking, no drinking, maybe no meat eating. 24/7. Like, and when he told Prabhupada his company's policy, Prabhupada said, "You're stricter than our temples." Because I'm sure, I mean, when anyone comes to work here, there's no smoking, no drinking, you know. But when they go home, we may or may not consider that. So loyalty, yes, that's a very important point. And many of his workers have become devotees. Although just because they're attracted to him and they like him. Hare Krishna. There is another question here.
If this devotee gets more attracted and attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Lord Krishna, what is his rate at the end?
Well, he's asking, what is the destination of a person who becomes more attached and attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than to Lord Krishna? Well, it also depends on his other attachments. I might be more attracted to Gaura Nithai than Radharasa Bihari, but in my total quantum of attachments, it's like 0.1% of my life. And the other 99.9% I'm attached to my house and my car and my rasgullas. But if you're referring to a pure devotee who has no material attachment and he has more attachment for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than for Krishna, then after leaving his body, he can go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there's chanting the name of Krishna, hearing the pastimes of Krishna. So it's possible that after joining Mahaprabhu's lila, that his attraction to Krishna could increase. And at that stage, he can be in both lilas, Gaura lila and Krishna lila. Like the six Goswamis, they have their identities in Gaura lila and their identities in Krishna lila. And when a disciple asks Srila Prabhupada, how is that possible that we can be in both? And Srila Prabhupada said that the potency of the liberated soul is inconceivable. We can't conceive how we could be at two places at the same time. But when we're liberated, it's possible that we could be in both Gaura lila and Krishna lila.
One more question. In the times of Srila Prabhupada, he was virtually grabbing whoever was even slightly ready for initiation. Nowadays, the initiation process takes about 10 to 12 years. Some devotees have to wait for 10 to 12 years. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village in the world. So this slow motion of initiation, so many tests and checking and interview and personal preferences, prejudices and so on. So how is it achieved and achieved? Mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Well, anyone who wants to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada can do so without initiation. I mean, there are some things that you need to do to be initiated, but you don't have to be initiated to serve. Peter Burwash is not initiated, but he does tremendous service. The one I quoted, Prabhupada spent 3 hours with him telling him how to do his business. But he chants, he speaks about Krishna, makes devotees. You know, in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was quite liberal. But later he commented that in the beginning we were liberal for the sake of working, because he had no one, he needed to engage people. He said, so in the beginning we were very lenient for the sake of working, but now we should be more careful. And in fact, yesterday I was having a discussion about initiation with one of my god brothers, and because I had recently heard that he did initiation somewhere, like after going there and having aspiring disciples for 10 years. So I said that I was very impressed that he, you know, waited so long. And he said that he likes to wait a long time to give the candidates, to test the candidates to see if their faith will remain steady. Sometimes they fall away into Maya, or sometimes they, you know, they don't want to wait, or they get attracted to some other Vaishnava, guru. So he likes to wait. And although he did say that if the support in a particular place is good, then he may not wait so long. You know what I mean? If he feels that his disciples will be very well taken care of, then he's not so worried about making them wait so long. But if he feels that they won't get so much support and they really have to somehow survive on their own means by their own devices to get association, then, you know, he may wait longer. But, so what was the question exactly? Yeah. Sorry? Well, you know, different gurus have different policies, and I'm still not catching what the question is. I understand the situation you're describing, but I'm not understanding what the question is.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to have Krishna consciousness movement spread in every town and village of the world. And initiation is recommended by all acharyas, that one must be initiated. So initiation is now slow, what I mean to say.
Yeah.
Prabhupada used to initiate immediately, even we can say 1 week, person comes in, he's not that he was. Now people have to wait 10 to 12 years.
Prabhupada.
So are we not delaying the plan?
Alright. Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922. And he took initiation in 1933. After 11 years. And then he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So do you think that the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's mission was delayed or hampered by Prabhupada's waiting 11 years? No. So...
I,
I mean, don't worry about it. If you want to get initiated, I'm sure you'll find. Well. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Good. Thank you. Yes. Can I pass the microphone?
हरे कृष्ण महाराज आप बोल रहे थे भक्ति में अहिंसा और अहिंसा और ईर्ष्या ये दोनों हमारे भक्ति में करते हैं तो ईर्ष्या तो हम किसी न किसी तरह से कर लेते हैं लेकिन अहिंसा तो जाने अनजाने में होते ही रहता है उसके बदले हम क्या कर सकते हैं
Krishna, he wants to ask that you said that violence and jealousy, these are two impediments in the bhakti path. He says that jealousy somehow can be controlled by chanting or some other way. But how do we control the violence that we commit knowingly and unknowingly in the process of devotion?
Jiva himsa. Himsa, yeah, it can mean envy or it can mean violence. And there's violence to the body, like people who eat meat, they're doing violence to the body of the animals. And then there's violence to the soul, which means not allowing the soul the opportunity to realize its full potential in Krishna consciousness. And yeah, the two go together. But, they're all like Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Matsarya. They're all, it's all part of what we condition souls are covered by. So, but Narottam Das Thakur has explained how these different, you know, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Matsarya, how they can be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. Like, Kam means desire. So we should desire for the service of the Lord. Krodha means anger, so we should be angry against the demons who are impeding the work of the devotees and exploiting the innocent people. And lobha, we should be greedy for the association of advanced devotees and the opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. So, everything can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. And that's how we can overcome doubts. Otherwise, sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that if you're angry, you should think of the Srinya Bhagavan. And that will purify your anger and pacify your heart. But we should be very careful with devotees. Yeah, I mean, getting angry with demons, or becoming angry with devotees is very dangerous. We should always be respectful of devotees. I mean, occasionally a parent or a guru may exhibit some anger to rectify a child or a disciple. But that anger can be transcendental, or it can be a product of rajagun and tamagun. So we should avoid being influenced by rajagun and tamagun. We shouldn't act on the basis of rajagun and tamagun and get angry. And if we do, then we should go back and beg forgiveness. But, there have been people, like the first time someone got angry at them, as adults, like they may keep it with them for years, and they'll never forget that experience. Yeah? That they're serving someone, they're doing their best, or at least doing something, and then the person gets angry, and it's like they become so bewildered, and they can keep that with them for a long time. We should be careful with devotees, especially. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we knowingly or unknowingly commit mistakes, offenses, sins, and on the platform of knowingly, when you know that you have committed a sin, we get a feeling of guilt that we shouldn't have done that. Simultaneously, when you are on the platform of KC, Krishna consciousness, It causes. Sorry, Maharaj.
I mean, it's not my name, it's Krishna's name. If you didn't want to say Krishna, you said K. Well, okay.
So, that guilt or that result causes problem in progressing towards Krishna consciousness. So somewhere you feel you have done wrong, so the person feels, you know, I should not be doing Krishna consciousness because I have done something wrong. So how we overlook that and make sure that it doesn't cause us any problem in Krishna consciousness, in progressing towards Krishna consciousness?
Well, you mentioned committing offenses knowingly or unknowingly. Of course, if we do it knowingly, we should, depending on the situation, but approach the person and ask forgiveness. Generally, most offenses are committed with speech. And so, you know, one of the first instructions in devotional service is to control the speech. Sevan mukhi ki jiva do, swayam eva svalabhyata. You begin with controlling the tongue. And Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita mentioned six items. Sati bhakti vinashyati, they ruin one's devotional service. And one of the six items is prajalpa. You know what is prajalpa? Unnecessary talks. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes different categories of unnecessary talks. And one of them is talking about others. Not glorifying them, but finding fault in them. And we should not do that. It's very emphatic that we should not talk about others. He said if a situation arises where you have to say something bad about another person, you should rather remain silent. So if we can control the tongue, control the urge to speak, vacho-vegam, manasa-krodha-vegam, the first, vacho-vegam, control the urge to speak, then we can control the other urges and we can avoid offenses. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you do criticize a devotee, like the devotee may not be aware of it if you're talking behind his back, and you may or may not want to approach the devotee and tell him, may or may not. But at least you should go back to the people that you spoke with and maybe glorify and glorify that devotee. Maybe apologize and glorify that devotee and say, you know, I was just under the influence of envy or pride, and that's why I said those things. But actually, that person is really a nice devotee, and I shouldn't have said what I did. And you know, really purify yourself of that offense. And then there won't be any difficulty staying in the association of devotees. You need the association of devotees, but you should associate with them in the proper way. And that means no prajalpa, no speaking badly about others. And, you know, it's so easy. I mean, like they say, you know, it takes as many, maybe they, I think they say it takes more, and it will say as many muscles to frown as to smile. So you should just smile. So it's not any easier to speak bad things about devotees. It's just as easy to speak good things about the Lord and the devotees. So that's what we should do. We should just control vacho-vegam. We should just control the urge to speak and say only good things about, of course, the Lord and the devotees. Does that answer your questions? Yes. Hare Krishna.
My question is this. So generally we are all very enthusiastic on festival days. So how do we maintain that enthusiasm on other days also? Sometimes.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, we're getting extra mercy today because it's Gaur-Purnima. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the festivals are very important. And from the experience we get in the festival, the inspiration we get in the festival, we should try to introduce that or maintain that in our daily lives as far as possible. And on a festival day, there's special facility. You don't have to eat. You don't, you know, depending on your situation, don't have to go to work or go to school. So you're going to immerse yourself fully. But when we first arrived in Bombay, it was one of the very first programs we had with Srila Prabhupada. It was a big house, big mansion with a lot of land, well, a nice garden. And so they set up the program in the garden. And the devotees went ahead, and then Srila Prabhupada came a little later. So we were speaking with the hosts, and they were saying, oh, it's a very auspicious day, some holy day, which we had never heard of. So when Srila Prabhupada arrived, we asked him, you know, they said today is a holy day. Well, we never heard of it. Is it a holy day for us? And Srila Prabhupada replied, for us, every day is a holy day, because we are Krishna's servants. So if you always are in the mood of being servant, not master, like the false ego wants, then every day is a holy day. Every day is a festival of service. Alright, so thank you all very much. We'll just end by reciting the Maha Mantra. Prince Bolie.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
Akka bahut dhanyavaad.
Hare Krishna.